Welcome to episode 7 of the BCF ORG Tech Talk. I'm Brian Fisher. This episode discusses the frequent maintenance of pneumatic cylinders versus electric tubular actuators. This podcast series focuses on the various subjects and topics to help you choose the right industrial automation solution for your application. Each episode is approximately 10 to 15 minutes long, so you can listen while commuting. It's targeted to engineers and project managers. In previous episodes, we've covered introduction to electric actuators versus pneumatic cylinders, industry direction, cost of ownership, unexpected downtime, the many advantages of electrical actuators, and linear motors made simple. This episode looks at frequent maintenance between different technologies. Because maintenance can be a significant portion in the cost of ownership, it's important to consider the cost of maintenance in any purchase. So before we get into maintenance, let's review total cost of ownership, or TCO, which we discussed in episode 3. Total cost of ownership is defined as the initial purchase cost plus years of service, multiplied by yearly replacement cost plus yearly maintenance cost plus yearly electric utility cost plus yearly product scrap plus yearly lost production due to changeover time and cycle time. Wow, that's a lot to consider, and there's probably more. When it comes to maintenance and replacement, pneumatic cylinders rely on tight rod and piston seals to prevent air leaks. As the actuator strokes back and forth thousands or even millions of times, seals eventually wear. If that results in a leak, it can degrade cylinder efficiency, force output, speed, and responsiveness, and can even interrupt manufacturing processes. What's worse, predicting seal failures or anticipating their effect on performance can be almost impossible. Electric actuators need little or virtually no maintenance. This lets designers make more predictable estimations of service life. Imagine a process that needs repeatable force to complete a process. As seals wear and air pressure changes, a pneumatic cylinder's force output changes. So it needs regular monitoring or adjustments, costing time and money. In contrast, electric actuators maintain force output over years of operation and even outperform pneumatic cylinders under the best conditions, as electric actuators instantly develop force. In contrast, pneumatic cylinders must wait for air pressure to build to get to target force and sometimes must install an accumulator tank to get to proper volume. This can be a high-impact cost issue and even more maintenance for the user. Let's review maintenance strategies. The right maintenance strategy is essential for achieving optimal performance. There are typically three kinds of maintenance strategies to consider: corrective maintenance, preventative maintenance, and condition-based maintenance. Let's take a closer look at these three options. Corrective maintenance is diagnosing and replacing components after they have failed. The advantages are it's easy to find and implement, minimal startup cost. The drawbacks are greater long-term cost, unexpected downtime, multiple steps, one to diagnose the problem, a second to repair the equipment, difficulties managing repair part inventory. A corrective maintenance strategy is effective when the cost of component failure is lower than the cost required to replace the component. To justify the application of a corrective maintenance strategy, all costs must be reviewed. These include cost of component, value of downtime, labor hours, equipment location, availability of components, and cost of inventory. Preventative maintenance is replacing a component on a set schedule. The advantages are makes it easier to budget repairs, prolongs life of entire system, supports product quality, schedules maintenance. The drawbacks are could replace an actuator that is still workable, and failure can still occur without warning. With preventative maintenance, when calculating the cost of component failure, it's important to consider the effect one component has on the service life of other components in the system. Product quality can be influenced by component failures. Breakdowns in the middle of a production run could cause the loss of a product from a single unit to an entire batch. Condition-based maintenance is the practice of monitoring the condition of components to determine when a component should be replaced prior to failure. Predictive maintenance is an extension of condition-based maintenance. Any changes in components' conditions over time can be discovered and make possible a prediction about when the unit will break down. The advantages are: reduces downtime, reduces inventory of repair parts, avoids failure during critical builds, maximizes life of actuator, schedules maintenance, improves product quality. The drawbacks are startup cost, increases system complexity. Condition-based maintenance should be used when the cost of monitoring the component is lower than the cost of component failure. This strategy leads to significant reductions in the cost of labor and the amount of downtime because technicians can replace components before they fail and not before they need to. I reached out to John Davis, president at Paul Davis Automation, located in Northeast Ohio, for further information on frequent maintenance between pneumatic cylinders and electrical tubular actuators. John's varied professional experience gives him unique insight into not only the sales and marketing aspects of technical products, but into the engineering and manufacturing process as well. John has been a brand planner, an electrical engineer specializing in PCB design, a software engineer specializing in Linux systems, and is now in a technical sales role as president of Paul Davis Automation. On the personal front, John's a husband and father for the best family in the world, a part-time farmer, and not current, but will be again someday, instrument-rated pilot. Let's welcome John Davis. John, welcome to the BCF ORG Tech Talk podcast.
Brian, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
You bet. John, I'm always interested in people's stories. Would you let us know your path to becoming president at Paul Davis Automation?
Oh, boy. Do you want the long version, the short version, or the Midwest version?
Probably the Midwest version.
Well, Midwesterners hate talking about themselves, so that it's like the short version on steroids, I suppose. But the short story is Paul Davis Automation is a family business that's been in continuous business as a manufacturer's representative since 1989. So the extremely short answer is I came into the business through the most old-fashioned method possible, which is nepotism. I did buy the business from my parents about 11 to 12 years ago. And prior to that, I had worked in several industries, everything ranging from marketing. I worked for an advertising agency as a brand planner. Been involved in software development, software engineering since I was a teenager, really. I was heavily involved in open source projects, in high school, and never really stopped as I became an adult and went through college and became a professional and everything else, although I don't do that nowadays just from a time standpoint. And made the decision to transition into the family business, and here we are.
Today's topic is frequent maintenance. Would you share your thoughts on pneumatic cylinders and tubular linear motor actuators from a maintenance perspective?
Sure. So I see both when I'm out in the field on a weekly basis. My sales guys and I, we are in factories of every different type in the Midwest. Everything from aerospace to packaging to steel handling. Really, if there's an industry, we have it here in Ohio and the surrounding states. So we get to see a lot of maintenance, and we meet with maintenance people and maintenance engineers on a regular basis. The short answer, I guess, to carry on the theme, the Midwest answer to maintenance differences between pneumatic cylinders and linear motors, tubular linear motors, is that the tubular linear motors, means they certainly require maintenance like anything else does, but it's far less and far more predictable than pneumatic cylinders. And that has to do with all of the just complications of pneumatic cylinders, everything from messing with regulators to operators messing with regulators to seals, which seem to be the big problem, air pressure on the plant, which may or may not be at what they want it to be at all the time, dust, just everything. And a tubular linear motor is a servo motor and it's electric. So yeah, you still have to deal with seals and that type of thing. However, it's a motor and there's just a lot less moving parts and there's no air pressure, and that's always a good thing.
Well, what factors should engineers consider when selecting pneumatic cylinders or linear motor actuators for their applications?
Well, I think one of the common issues that I see is either an overestimation of what is needed for the application or an underestimation of what is needed for the application in terms of technology. And what I mean by that is I hear often, well, hey, this is just a simple axis. This is a simple motion axis. We're just going to throw a pneumatic cylinder on it because it's easy. Okay. What they really need or what they really want is something that's more controllable. And what happens is, yeah, they get the initial low investment of connecting up an airline and throwing on a pneumatic cylinder and, you know, they wipe their hands of it and they're done and everything's good to go. But then I see hours of maintenance on the back end for the next months or years even of fiddling with regulators, or there's an issue. There's always an issue. And I could probably name 10 of them, although we'd be going on about pneumatic cylinder problems for the rest of the podcast. There's always something to mess with and something to fiddle with. And that simple motion axis, or that simple, all it is a pusher. That's all we're doing, turns into the highest maintenance item on the machine. Whereas a linear motor, yeah, it's a higher upfront cost. And you actually have to get out the computer and do some programming and interact with the PLC above and beyond what you would with a solenoid for a pneumatic cylinder. But generally, once you get it working and once you do what you want to do, it's going to work for a really long time. So to go back to the original question of what should engineers consider for their applications, oftentimes there is not a lot of thought put past the initial, hey, I need to buy this thing in my bill of material, put it on the machine and make it work. Just remember that somebody has to maintain it. And if you put it on there, maybe you're the unfortunate person who has to maintain it. So as I always say to myself, today me wants to be nice to future me, and future me gets angry at past me when I do things that are short-sighted like that.
We're speaking with John Davis, president at Paul Davis Automation. From a maintenance perspective, what type of applications are best suited for linear motor actuators?
Well, I would say, of course, linear applications, right? That's the silly answer. So linear motors excel at high duty cycle, relatively low mass. So in my world, we're a motion control representative firm. We sell actuators that go from tiny little things up to actuators that can push a couple thousand pounds around. So when I say relatively low mass, I'm talking up to maybe 200 pounds. So we've got relatively low mass, we've got high duty cycle, and I would say challenging environments, so washdown environments, are really big for us. Because it is a linear motor and there's no shaft seal like you have on a rotary motor to worry about with water ingress, they excel in washdown applications. It's essentially two stainless tubes inside of each other. And if you can force water through a stainless tube through the sidewall of that tube, then I think you've got a very interesting washdown application, but they work pretty well in that. And as far as high duty cycle, if you look at our product portfolio, we sell all of the different types of linear actuators, from ball screw to Acme screw to jacks, linear motors, the whole thing. If you're doing high duty cycle applications, something like a ball screw is not going to like that. Even a belt is going to have issues with that, especially if it's a short stroke. Short strokes, when you have bearings involved, you don't get bearing recirculation in the ball nut. It's not great. So short stroke, high duty cycle, challenging environments. The only environment they don't like is if you have a lot of metal, because you have a big magnetic rod going through the middle of the actuator. That's going to be an issue for ferrous material. But outside of that, they work out pretty well.
Staying with the maintenance perspective, what type of applications are best suited for pneumatic cylinders?
Going back to one of the previous questions about underestimating or overestimating the application, there are times when if the engineer's done their homework and they've taken a serious look at what they're doing, sometimes just having a pneumatic actuator really is good. There's a lot of end of arm tooling, for example, is one that comes to mind on robots. I have put linear motors on end of arm tooling for robots, and it works out great if you need it. But you have to figure out how to run power and network and all that stuff that has to go through a slip ring, and that can be complicated. But if you need it, you need it, and you figure it out. Sometimes just a little pneumatic actuator out there on the end of a robot arm is really all you need. If you're just doing simple open close, you're not trying to do position control, you're just trying to grab onto something or whatever, it works out well for that. There are certain applications or environment types that I think would behoove themselves to pneumatics, and maybe certain types of machines too. I know this is something that maybe not every part of the country deals with, but we have a large amount of Amish OEMs out here, and they make some tremendously cool machines that do some extremely critical work. And the Amish may not be up to standards for the 21st century in terms of technology, but that doesn't mean that they don't use technology. They are pretty high tech with the technology that they're allowed to use within their within what they're restricted to. They use a lot of pneumatics. And for those machines, they are pneumatic experts, and they still do things like pneumatic logic inside the panel and that type of thing. So obviously for niche applications, it's going to work out well for that. But simple applications, and they are cheap. So if you fully understand what you're getting yourself into, you can get a pneumatic cylinder for a pretty low amount of money.
We're speaking with John Davis, president at Paul Davis Automation. Maintenance can be a significant expense. How does this factor into TCO, or the total cost of ownership, between pneumatic cylinders and linear electric actuators?
It's a good question. And I think the answer to that depends on how does your company do their budgeting? Whose bucket is that total cost of ownership in, right? That's another thing to consider, because you don't want to make that guy angry or that lady angry who has to maintain the thing long term. Generally, over time, you are correct. Maintenance is a significant expense. It is, anybody who works around equipment realizes that equipment spends more time broken in some cases than it does working. And there's always something wrong with something. I currently live on a farm, and there is something that always either needs fuel or it needs repair. There is, if everything ever works 100% on my farm, hell has frozen over and we are ready for the second coming or something, because that never happens. And it's kind of the same way in a factory. There's always something that needs maintenance. So that is probably one of the primary expenses of anybody who's manufacturing. In terms of pneumatics versus linear actuators, there's two things to look at from a total cost of ownership perspective. One is certainly maintenance. A tubular linear motor, for example, is going to run for hundreds of millions, maybe even a billion cycles if everything is configured properly and the guidance is set right and it was sized properly and all that good stuff. There's just not a lot of wear items on something like a tubular linear motor. They're very straightforward. And once you program it and have it running, they're going to go. It should be, in theory, one of the lowest maintenance items in a plant. When you get into pneumatics, all the aforementioned issues I talked about, there is probably going to be an air leak because the air always leaks. It's like water. It just wants to find a way out of a pipe. So there's always an air leak and you're always chasing those down. There is always a seal that has gone bad. One of the common issues we see, because we do sell some pneumatic products that are pneumatic brakes. One of the common issues you see with those is that you put a big red sticker on them and a tag and everything else, and it says these are pre-lubricated from the factory. Do not add lubrication. So you don't want a lubricator on your air. Well, yeah, nobody reads instructions and they throw that out. And we see a lot of things that are lubricated that aren't supposed to be lubricated, and they'll work, but they require a lot more maintenance then. So we see that type of thing. There's always a lubrication issue. You have to keep the air dry. That's always another issue. None of that stuff you have to worry about with a linear motor. The second half of it is energy consumption. Linear motors, because they're an electric motor, they are above 95% efficient. That's excellent. So you know exactly how many watt hours you're putting into the motor to make it work. And our sizing software, or really any servo sizing software, can tell you how much that motor is going to cost or how much power it's going to use. Going back to the air leaks, you're leaking air all the time. And those giant scroll compressors in the back of the plant are running full tilt all the time on 483 phase to supply air to the plant. And probably half of it is going out into the atmosphere. So best estimate I've heard on air efficiency in a plant has been 40%. And there are a lot of customers who will say the efficiency is even less than that, depending on the plant. So the short answer is you have 40% efficiency versus above 95% efficiency. That's a huge energy savings.
Well, John, is there anything I haven't asked that you'd like to add?
So motion in general, I always encourage engineers, even if it's a simple axis like a air cylinder, to reach out to their trusted automation partner. It could be your local controls distributor who does motion control. It could be a manufacturer's rep like me that you know that does motion control. Talk to us about it. There are even simple applications, especially with the pace at which technology is increasing or accelerating right now. Even simple applications always have room for some type of improvement. And I know I have this in my personal life too. We all have headaches that we live with, and we forget that they're headaches. We just have lived with a headache for so long that we figure out a way to work around it. Air cylinders are typically a headache that I see a lot, that when I give somebody a solution to fix that, they're like, oh, I don't have to deal with this. And there are 10 different ways to skin that cat today. So don't be afraid to reach out, lean on your technology partners. We're always here to help and love to help.
Well, speaking of reaching out, how can people get in contact with you?
So I am on LinkedIn. That's a great way to reach out to me. I'll connect with pretty much anybody who doesn't look like a spammer. Or if you want to go to our website, it's www.pauldavisautomation.com. Or you can always email me. It's JD, like Juliet Delta, at pauldavisautomation.com.
John, thank you very much for joining us today on the BCF.org Tech Talk podcast and discussing frequent maintenance.
You're very welcome, Brian. Thank you.
Like any solution, some technologies require less maintenance than others, and maintenance costs time and money. Hydraulic and pneumatic actuators will always have their place in certain applications. However, most engineers will find that clean, safe, quiet, flexible, and economical electrical linear actuators are a better choice for most applications, especially when it comes to maintenance. My thanks to Linmont for sponsoring this episode. Linmont, the linear motor technology leader. Visit Linmont at linmont.com. That's LINMOT.com. Online references for this episode were from linearmotiontips.com and airinc.net. This podcast is on several directories. In search, type BCF.org/TECH. Be sure to leave a space between BCF.org and TCH. Check on subscribe or follow to automatically be notified of future episodes. And feel free to share this podcast with people who you think may benefit. A strong rating of these podcasts would be appreciated. In our next episode, 8, we'll look at pneumatics and the environment. If you'd like to reach out to me with any questions, ideas, or potentially be a guest like John, please go to bcforg.com. There's a red Contact Us button in the middle of the homepage. A LinkedIn symbol's on the upper right. Click on that if you'd like to see my profile. These podcasts will be released monthly. From BCFORG Corp, I'm Brian Fisher, wishing you the best. Thanks.